So the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Dearly beloved, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but countrywise blessing. For unto this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers, but the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you, if you be zealous of good? But if also you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of this fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 5. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire. If therefore thou bring thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." Please be seated. Guard thy tongue, guard thy soul, thoughtless speech may bring ruin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Mass and in the Divine Office, we see a certain unity that is grouped around the idea of fraternal charity. And the Gospel warns us not merely against the grave sin of murder, but it also warns us against the sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue and then sins of anger. We're told that we must pardon our brother before bringing our offering to Almighty God. And so if we try to offer things to God, but yet we hold this against our brother, well, then God is not going to be pleased with that. God, in a sense, will not even accept that. Because we have that in our soul, in our heart. So we can say that the foundation of the love for our brother, our neighbor, is truly in the love of God. In today's collect, it says, we pray God may increase the fire of this love for him in our hearts, love above all things. And so clearly, yes, we are asking for the love of God above all things. But if we understand truly what charity is the love of God above all things, but it's also the love of our neighbor for the love of God. So it is both of those things that compose charity. And in many places in sacred scripture, it talks about if we truly say that we love God, but we hate our neighbor, we're a liar. That we cannot say that we truly love God above all things if, yes, we despise our neighbor, if we have a hatred toward our neighbor. And so it's important for us to truly understand what is true charity. True charity, fraternal charity. And so in today's Mass, as I mentioned in today's Mass, and then also in the Divine Office, it's a recurring theme for us. It mentions these things for us to understand. And so yes, the charity towards others is a manifestation of our love of God. Because again, as I just mentioned with the definition of charity, it reminds us of the fact that yes, it stems from our love of God, our love of our neighbor. And so it's important for us to understand that, be able to explain that. And so in the epistle, St. Peter tells us to give glory to Christ. But that'll be impossible for us to give that honor and that glory that is due to God if we have a hatred for our neighbor. There's no friendship with God unless we are truly friends with our neighbors, those that are around us. And so our Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, this was the essence that he tried to give to us. The charity that we have, the love of God above all things. And so that is what stems, obviously, our actions around us, what we do toward other people, How do we treat other people? It stems from that fact of ultimately our love of God. And so that is something for us to reflect upon and think about. And as I say in this Mass, there's many different references and mentions of that to it. And so truly, if therefore we understand that we need to give glory to God, as St. Peter tells us, that we also have to have a love for our neighbor around us. And to illustrate that, I mean, granted, sometimes, yes, we will not always get along with the people around us. But there still has to be an understanding of the love for the souls around us. And then to be careful of the abuse that we make of that by talking about others, condemning others, bringing out their faults. And so that is where then we can lose the true charity for God by sins of the tongue. And that is a warning that we see in both the epistle and in the gospel. So St. Peter advises us, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from them that speak guile. So very clearly, St. Peter sees and realizes, one, the ease with which we can fall into sins of the tongue, but then also the danger that it brings to our soul by so being so free to talk about other people. It's interesting to see St. Augustine said, it's difficult to find anyone whose tongue has not been the cause of some sin. So one, he recognizes the fact of how easy, yes, it is for us to sin by our tongue. But he goes on to say that it's not without reason that the tongue is closed within the mouth since it falls so frequently. And so he shows to us of how easy, yes, it is to fall into sin, but then how God has even ordained it that it's closed within our mouth to try to keep it from falling into sin. So yes, sins of the tongue are we can fall into them very frequently, and even good souls can fall into it, even in some sense without realizing the gravity with which that we fall into, of bringing out the faults and the weaknesses of other people. You know, that is something that we have to realize that for us, that becomes part of our judgment then. What was the necessity of bringing that out? Did we have to bring that out? Did we have to talk about someone's faults and their weaknesses? You know, to what purpose did it serve? Is it just to lessen people's opinion about them? Is it to get people against them? I mean, with all of these things, and we see the gravity and the sins with which we commit. Yes, maybe their faults and their weaknesses are real and they're readily right there. But by us bringing those to the forefront, well, now we've just committed sin. And so to what purpose does this bring? What purpose is this? And so that's why it's good for us to reflect upon that, or to read St. James' epistle in sacred scripture. St. James talks about the frequency of the sins of the tongue, even to the point of where he says, show me a man that has not sinned by his tongue, and I will show you a perfect man. And so yes, there is the reference and the understanding in sacred scripture of how easily we can fall into the sins of the tongue, but it doesn't justify them by any means. I mean, all we have to do is look at our Lord's words that he says in sacred scripture today. And if you look at the gospel account, and granted, we may think to ourselves that this is very strict or very severe in terms of what he says. But if you look at it and says, he says, whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. I mean, granted, if we jokingly say to our brother, you're a fool, or different things of that nature, but this is showing the contempt that we have for other souls. A contempt for other people. And so he says, that is what then you will be guilty of. Again, going back to the fact of the sins could be very real in the person. But it doesn't give us the right to say these things. It doesn't give us the right to bring these to the forefront. Because then we see what kind of sins we commit from that. And I think a lot of times that's why I say when a lot of good souls, they don't realize to what gravity the sins are and how dangerous it is for our own soul just to freely talk about people. And as I say, I think that's what can happen a lot of times. We start talking about things, then we start talking about people, we start talking about their weaknesses and their faults and their sins, and all of a sudden, well, now, yes, we've just taken away the good name that that person has. Whether maybe at the very beginning of it we intended that or not, But it is still sinful for us to do so. The frequency with which we talk, and in today's world, there's so many different means to that. Sending an email, texting, talking on the phone, obviously. All the different, you know, social media. I mean, these are things that we have to realize to what gravity then bringing out the faults and the weaknesses of another soul, what that means for our own soul and our own judgment. And so how sacred scripture tells us and reminds us of this fact. Yes, the ease with which human nature falls into these sins, but they are still sinful. They are still things that we have to work on. And that is the mortification of the tongue that we have. There's an excellent little booklet. Can scare you by reading it somewhat and seeing the consequences of our actions. But it's called Sins of the Tongue. Little green, little kind of booklet. I mean, you read that and it really puts into an understanding of how severe that these sins will be for our judgment day. I mean, you think about it when our Lord says that every idle thought or word that we say will be as part of our judgment. So then we take it to another extent in terms of, okay, these aren't idle words. These are words that we're trying to serve a purpose with. And so therefore, those things will also, yes, be a part of our judgment. So it can help us to try to understand of how we need to mortify our speech. Mortify the tongue and not allowing it just to speak so freely about other people, about other people's weaknesses and faults and sins. Because we can look at it in terms of what is the effect of the sins of the tongue. One, it destroys the unity of the mystical body of Christ. And why? Because the mystical body of Christ is based on the charity of its members. And so if we lack charity because we talk about others, we're destroying that unity that we have in forming the mystical body of Christ. And so right there, it's a huge effect that we see because of the sins of the tongue. But then also from that, it can definitely make us more prideful because we're pointing out the weaknesses and the faults of other souls. We see their problems. We see their weaknesses. I mean, it's dangerous for us to do so. Because, as I say, very rarely it comes back to our own judgment then. Of how these words that we say, of how they can damage a soul. And there's the famous story of the confessor. Some have said it's St. John Vianney. Some say St. Francis de Sales. In either case, it's a saint. And so when a person came in, confessed that they had taken away the good name of another soul, it's the famous penance that he gives to him. He says, okay, take a feather pillow and go out into the wind and open it up. And then for your penance, I want you to collect all the feathers. And so obviously the penitent was kind of like, can I have another penance? Can I say like three Hail Marys? Because that's not going to be, I'm not going to be able to complete that. And he said, that'll give you a good understanding then of what you've done to that person's name. You'll never be able to bring that back. Just as you'll never be able to get all the different feathers, and especially if you're around Watkins when a wind comes up, good luck. You may have to drive to Kansas to find your feathers. But, I mean, that's the realness of him saying that penance. Open up the pillow, let all the feathers go, and then you have to collect every single one of them. And so he was trying to get across, see how easily then you damage that person's good name that it will never be able to be restored completely. Yes, you can go back to the people and tell them, oh, look, I made a mistake. I should not have said this about this person. But in some ways, the damage is done. There'll always be the doubts or the wonders about the things, or maybe they just won't. It's like, oh, yeah, your confessor told you to say that, huh? And so that famous penance that has been handed down to us, like I said, doesn't really matter who the confessor is because it clearly illustrates the damage of taking away someone's good name and how we'll never be able to bring it back, completely at least. As I say, you can at least make the effort of going back to the person or going back to the people you talk to and say, okay, well, I need to repair this. But we'll never be able to completely bring back their good name. And that's because of just one conversation, possibly. And so we see the damage that we can do. And so as I say, just it destroys the unity of the mystical body because it destroys charity. But then it also, yes, it makes us more prideful in thinking, okay, well, I'm better than that. And what remedies can we take from that? So if we know, okay, these are the effects of it, what remedies then can we have? One, you look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. The silence that he had in those that accused him of things. Our Lord prayed for them. I mean, you look at Judas, he even referred to him as friend, even though he knew Judas was betraying him. And so, yes, the silence that we keep, how hard it is, a lot of times we want to justify ourselves, say something about them, bring out their weaknesses and their faults if we hear that they talked about us. And how many of us can just, yes, truly turn another cheek and just be silent about it. It's very difficult. But it is the example that our Lord gives to us. Another remedy that we can have is seeing that in all men there is the image of God. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that. Sometimes we can't even figure, do they even have the image of God in their soul? But God has created every soul with his image. Granted, many souls can abuse that and lose that image of God because of their sins. But every soul is created in the image of God. And that's a good reminder to us. Yes, when we see their weaknesses and their faults, pray that they are able to overcome those weaknesses and faults. Instead of talking about all that they do. Also, another remedy can be recognizing our own faults. The famous saying, look in a mirror. Maybe we don't like what we see, but if we see the weaknesses and faults in others, a lot of times we're able to point out their weaknesses and faults because we suffered from the same exact things. That's why we're so good in pointing it out, because we suffer from it too. So an easy solution to that, we see the weaknesses and faults in others, look in a mirror, find out our own weaknesses and faults and try to work on those. Every single one of us, we have enough work on our own soul than trying to worry about everybody else in the parish or everybody else at work or everyone else in your family. We've got enough work to handle. And so therefore, it's good for us to reflect then upon our own soul rather than everybody else. And then finally, truly following the example that loving our neighbor as ourself. I mean, that's what we say is true charity. The love of God above all things, but the love of our neighbor for the love of ourself. And so therefore, yes, putting that into practice. And granted, it will be difficult at times, especially with maybe people we don't get along with, that we have a really hard time with. Trying to do something nice for them. You know, those are the things that really help the spiritual growth of our soul. It's very easy to do things nice for people that we do like. But try to then do something for someone that you have a difficulty with. I mean, we're human, we all will suffer from that, we all have that, that's understandable. But the very least that we see the image of God in their soul and then also trying to help them and do something charitable for them, that is where we'll really make spiritual progress. And so these are some things to think about. If we say we have a true love for God, well, then we have to illustrate that. If we understand that we want to show our love for God, we'll also have to show it at times with our neighbor. And so therefore, pray for these graces then to truly have this love of God. Ask the Blessed Virgin Mary for this true charity. I mean, obviously the love that our mother has for all of our souls. Ask for that to imbue us, that we can see God in every single soul, even when we see their weaknesses and faults. Because by doing so, if we have this true charity, then for us, we won't have to worry about suffering hellfire. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.